Thank you for joining us for A Time of Hope with highlights of our services last Sunday, which were led by Brenda Osterley, who's a member at our sister church, Salem United Church of Christ, out on Route K. We also would invite you to join us for our church services this morning in person. Our Sunday school is at 9:30, and our worship is at 10:30 at our 101 North Oak. Again, thank you for listening.
Rise for the call to worship. The Lord is our shepherd. We will have all that we need. We are released from fear. Even though difficulties and dangers may lie ahead, we do not need to fear. God will give us abundantly from God's own love.
Our senior high puppeteers lead our children's time.
Good morning. Thank you for coming today. Hello to our online friends too. This morning, Brenda is bringing us a message called Powerful Witness. So let's break down what this message would be. Power or powerful? Someone who is strong because of muscle strength or is a leader of a group. Thinking about someone strong brings to mind the Power Rangers, Superman, Spider-Man, or other creatures who are not real. When we think about people in the Bible, Samson, David, Peter, and Paul would come to mind. They were real people.
The second word is witness. A witness is someone who sees something and can give an account of what happened. If you see an accident or an argument between two people, you would be a witness. In the Bible, we see many people who are witnesses. The men who Jesus called to be apostles or disciples were a witness to what Jesus did when he was here on earth.
Jesus is a powerful witness because he knew God, who is his dad. He also healed many people and even brought Lazarus, a little girl, a young black man, back to life. The Bible is a powerful witness because God gave people messages that they were to help write down. And those messages became our Bible. The Bible can give us direction and help us deal with the ups and downs of this life.
Please bow your head for prayer. Dear God, thank you for sending your son to be a powerful witness for us. Thank you for the Bible that tells us many events that help us understand how you want us to live. Give us the desire to read your word and find help with our daily life. We want to be powerful witnesses too. We love you and amen. You may now go back to your seats.
Our children's choir, God's Singers, brings our special music, Jesus is Alive and Doing Well.
Thank you.
Madeline reads the morning scriptures, followed by Brenda Osterley's sermon, Powerful Witness.
Our first reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and distributed them to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they partook of food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Our second reading is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our next reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 through 25. For one is approved if, mindful of God, he endures pain while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you do wrong and are beaten for it, you take it patiently? But if, when you do right and suffer for it, you take it patiently, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, no guile was found on his lips. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he trusted to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. And our final reading comes from the book of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus said again to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not heed them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.
Let us pray. O Lord, let your presence fill this place. Let your glory saturate the atmosphere and touch every heart. Where your presence is, there is peace, healing, and transformation. Let no one leave the same way they came. Go before us, Lord, and make your presence evident among us. In Jesus' name, amen. I always know God is in control.
And it just seemed, the last time when Jim asked me to speak, it was Transfiguration Sunday. I thought, okay, that was easy to deal with, and I could do that. Then when he asked for this particular Sunday, when I started looking at the liturgical calendar and the scriptures, it's like, it's the Good Shepherd Sunday. That's a message that writes itself. And it's like, okay, so I was at peace. Because sometimes it's hard to come up with ideas, and I find them from various sources. So I was excited when this one turned out to be what it was. And to be a powerful witness. We're all powerful witnesses. I'm looking out at the faces right now, and I'm thinking, I'm not going to mention names because I won't mention all of them unless somebody said, well, why didn't they say me? But there's a lady here, her and her husband, I cooked with many times, and I just thought, serve several meals, and to watch them work as a team, a husband and a wife, and it's just like, and there are so many lessons I learned from them that I took every time after I served a meal at Salem or anywhere else. It's just like, oh, they showed me how to do this with grace. There are people here that I worked with in youth fellowship or had as Sunday school teachers or so many different places. Many of you are some of my teaching friends, and we're witnessing every day in the classroom. So all of you are have all been good examples to me as to what a powerful witness should be. But hopefully this message provides a little food for thought today. Jesus is the voice that calls us. In the scripture that Jenny just read, in John 10, Jesus declares himself the Good Shepherd. He calls his sheep by name. That's one of the most comforting thoughts, that Jesus calls us by name. It's not, hey, you, or get a finger point and say, you. It's by name. It's by eye contact. It might even be by a touch. It's our name. It could be Mary. It could be John. It could be Doris. It could be Charlie. It could be Emmett. And suddenly, when you hear your name, it takes on a whole different meaning and attitude. We're not just a blip on the map. We're a piece of God's gigantic heart. He gathers our tears. He feels our grief, and he shares our joys. We are connected. He leads us on our faith paths. He carefully prepared a charted course for each of our lives. We may not always have chosen or taken that path that he directed us on, but even with the wrong turns, he still is guiding us and protecting us as we move forward. Our end result is our salvation, our abundant life with our Heavenly Father. And as we ponder and consider our mission to serve God, we continue the thought of powerful witnessing. By Jesus making this perfect connection with us, he is proving to us that we belong. We are his, and he is ours. His heart is our heart. And before we can witness, we have to first belong. Witnessing is not just a performance. It's a response. It's our response to the Good Shepherd. And if we know his voice, where does he lead us? Anywhere we want to go. And he's directing the path. The shepherd restores us. As we think about the beloved scripture in Psalm 23, it paints a picture of our inner life with the Good Shepherd. He gives us rest in green pastures. He gives us guidance through our path of righteousness. He instills in us courage as we face the shadow of death. His blessings continuously flow, and our cups runneth over and over and over. We are becoming a stronger witness as we are restored, not rushed, a restored soul. We continue to listen for his voice. People don't need more noise. I can guarantee I don't need more noise in my life. But it is also what God wants us to be doing, that we're able to be able to find calm in the chaos. And that too becomes part of our testimony. But what happens when following the shepherd leads us to suffering? And we know it leads us to suffering. It always does. The shepherd we imitate is suffering. In 1 Peter 2, verses 19 through 25, we are reminded, as we've just left the Lenten season, we have seen the suffering of Jesus, what Jesus went through. But we're also reminded of the miracles he performed. We saw loved ones healed. He loved. And he even resurrected some of his friends. We traveled through the streets of Jerusalem with him. We climbed that hill to Golgotha. Our tears fell at the cross. We grieved in the darkness on Good Friday. And we rejoiced with those who witnessed the stone rolled away on Resurrection Sunday. We also know that Jesus suffered unjustly. Jesus didn't try to get even or retaliate. Jesus is the one whose wounds were healed, and through him, our wounds have also been healed too. The one line from the scripture that connects us again is verse 25 that tells us, "You are like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd." It is now that our witnessing becomes powerful when it looks like the shepherd, especially in hardship. People are watching. People are connecting. People are modeling the good shepherd. Anyone can speak and say life is easy. We all know that we can make life seem like a bowl of cherries. But let's face it, there seems to be a few days that it seems like a bowl of sour grapes. But that's okay. Nowhere in the Bible did Jesus say, life is supposed to be easy. Truly, how boring would that be? Think about your experiences. Think about the people you have watched go through unspeakable pain and come out on top. That grace under fire is unforgettable. Those are the stories that enhance our testimony. Those are the stories that bring us to our knees and help us give praise and glory to God. We thank him for sustaining us through the hard times and bringing us to a better place. Those are the reflections that help us to continue to grow and survive. Those are the events that continue to help us model the Good Shepherd. Suffering isn't a detour from witnessing. Suffering is often the foundation of our witnessing. And what does a whole community shaped by that kind of shepherd look like? In Acts 2, we see the early church. They're living as a devoted flock. They are connected with teaching, fellowship, and prayer. Those believers were generous and unified. These faithful were full of awe and joy for their Savior. What happened because of their commitment? God delivered on his promise. And every day the Lord added to them those who were being saved. The most powerful witness is not just individuals. It is the community. During this time, the world didn't just hear the gospel, they saw it embodied in that community. Their life together proved the shepherd was real. And we are shepherded by the same Christ, so that our lives, both individually and together, become a visible, compelling witness to the world. One of the foundational aspects of Christian life is the act of witnessing, sharing the message of salvation and the love of God with others. And throughout the Bible, God provides us with numerous examples of individuals who boldly profess their faith to the world. The woman at the well is one of many examples. Jesus encounters a Samaritan woman at the well.
And despite the societal norms and the cultural barriers, Jesus engages this woman in conversation and reveals to her that he's the Messiah. The woman, overwhelmed by this encounter, runs back to her town and tells everyone about Jesus, leading many others to believe in him. Then we have Saul, later known as Paul, who was a fervent persecutor of Christians until he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. This impassioned conversion experience transformed Saul into a passionate follower, Paul, and he dedicated his life to proclaiming the gospel. Rahab was an unlikely witness, definitely a woman of questionable standing from a city that was about to be destroyed. But she chose to protect Israel's spies. Rahab had heard of Israel's God and believed in his power. In a bold act of faith, she hid the spies, risking her life. Her actions demonstrated her trust in God over the idols of her city. Rahab's story is a reminder that anyone, no matter their past, can become a witness for God. It shows that faith in God can lead to life-changing decisions, even in the most challenging circumstances. Then we have the apostles on Pentecost, which we'll celebrate at the end of May. After receiving the Holy Spirit, the apostles boldly preached the gospel to the crowd gathered in Jerusalem. Peter spoke clearly, explaining the message of Jesus, and many were convicted that day to the message. In fact, that day over 3,000 people were baptized. Can you imagine what that looked like? The aura over that whole place had to be radiating with God's love. The apostles' testimony about Jesus' death, resurrection, and power was life-changing, because it was backed by the Holy Spirit. And this event continues to show in the importance of being empowered by the Holy Spirit. It also shows us that witnessing can lead to the transformation of many lives when God's power is at work. Then I like to think of the little boy who come with some loaves and some fishes to share with 5,000 people. Actually closer to probably 13,000 to 15,000 people if we counted everybody we fed. How fast do you think his legs took him back to his mom and dad and to his friends or whoever he had traveled with to say, you won't believe what just happened? I've helped feed all these people. And he took that story with him till his final breath. That was a story. That was his witnessing to the world. Maybe I identify with that story because I teach that age kids, but still the power that was in that moment just because I had a basket with some bread and some fish. I changed lives that day. I helped Jesus preach to those people and show them the love of community. This is just a glimpse of a few of the memorable believers that took on the role of being a witness for Christ. Each and every one still have a powerful impact of changing lives today. Now, if you look to your left and you look to your right, and the people in front of you and the people behind you, do you see the powerful witnesses of today? I do. These are the people we have watched to provide our source of strength, enabling us to confront adversity and heal our emotional scars. They have provided us with their testimonies of transformation. These are the people that have impacted our lives. These people have prayed for us, grieved for us, and shared our joys. These are the people who have served as encouragement in a chaotic world. It is our job to continue the gospel story. As I tell my students every day, people are watching you and listening to how we share our story. We are the walking, talking Bibles of today.
I even tell my friends at Valley Park, I said, you never know who's watching you in the building, who may come in, and you may be the only Bible they see today. We all have memories of Sunday school teachers, ministers, neighbors, friends, and family that shaped our path. They've provided those threads to our personal testimonies. And we have people who have spent countless hours delivering meals for homebound residents, or taking church materials to our homebound, or people who work at Project Share or work at the food bank. But I can't help but stand here and miss this one face, Alberta Rich. How many of you were ever blessed with a pie or a bag of cookies? She knew I liked lemon pie of any sort, and anytime she wanted to try a new recipe, and I think because she was afraid to try it out on anybody else, she'd always say, do you want to try this new recipe? And I was like, I'm there. But then we also talked, and she would share her story. And I can guarantee you, probably not too many times did I receive a different thread from Alberta about her testimony. She would tell me some different facet of her life that also gave me food for my testimony. Then I lived next door to Glenn and Hazel Job. They were both talkers, and some of you even had Hazel as a teacher. Hazel taught school for many years, and then she also taught Sunday school for many years. And I just, my mind is blown when I think about the amount of students whose lives she touched in one way or the other. Glenn was the same way. He taught Sunday school. When he was even on the job, he found ways to bring God into his message. They were walking, talking testimonies right there. And they shared it every time. We did so many things together. But they were such a great example of being powerful witnesses. We are ambassadors of Christ. We are Christians called to represent him and convey his message of salvation to all who do not know Jesus personally. The message includes the truth of who God is, what Christ has done for humanity, and the hope and forgiveness found in him. It is important that we can communicate this message in a way that is understandable to all. To believers, to all believers, and to all non-believers. It encompasses the spoken word and our actions. True Christians witness involves both preaching and teaching the gospel and living a life by word and deed. We embody the message of faith in a tangible way. Our words may touch hearts, but it's through our actions that we can truly demonstrate the transformative power of Christ and draw others to him. Powerful witnessing calls us to live a life of integrity and love, showing the world what it means to follow Christ. We are the living testimony of God's work in our lives. Amen.